BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Hello, here is today's Scott Mills Daily for Wednesday. Coming up, 24 years at the tap end. Another story from my friend Chris's autobiography. Becky hears Sir Dossa's new music, Hanging in the Morning, for the first time. My flatmate has proper stress in an airport. And another round of Real or No Real featuring Jamila Jamil.
Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Let's go.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
Here we are then. It's time for Wednesday's tap end on BBC Radio 1. I had a meeting with the boss of Radio 1 earlier.
Oh, wow.
He still very much likes it.
So he's a Keen?
Yeah, he is Keen Cooper.
Ben Keenper.
Yeah.
No, that's rubbish.
He still very much likes it.
I'm pleased he likes it.
Just thought I'd pass that on.
That puts the pressure on a little bit.
Bit of motivation for you. Doesn't think it could last forever, but for now, he likes it.
I bet he said that as well. Reminds him of his own youth.
Where are we at?
I'm going to take you to my 15th year at the tap end, if you're keen.
I am the Duchess of Keenbridge to celebrate her 31st birthday today.
Ah, happy birthday, Your Majesty.
I don't think she's Your Majesty.
No, you don't have to say Your Majesty.
What is she?
Happy birthday, K-Mid.
K-Mid.
I am Martin Luther King Keen.
And I'm a vodka martini, shaken, not stirred. 007 style.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's crack on.
Okay, then.
Ready?
Ready. Ready.
As a 15-year-old growing up in Pinner, I have many interests and hobbies. I was beginning to get interested to a moderately professional level in girls. I loved football. And I also, a bit weirdly, had a big interest in music and radio. Out of football, girls and media studies, two out of these three interests were to become a big part of my life in this year at the tap end, after a particularly eventful Saturday.
Oh.
Although I love football and had for many years, my close family were not so keen in ever going. However, my auntie had decided one Saturday to take me to a West Ham game. It had been a brilliant day and was made even better on a drive home down the A40 as we headed to the Target roundabout and the familiar sight of the Golden Arches. You know what I mean?
I do.
At this point, going to the Golden Arches was still a massive treat. It would later in my first year of uni become somewhere I lived off and a place that was a treat to avoid.
Were you one of those people that got charged £1 for loitering? Do they have that in your one?
Do they do that?
In my one, when I was a kid. Yeah, because you used to go in there, like a massive group of you, and buy like 4 cheeseburgers.
Mm.
And then just sit there, like, not really ordering anything else.
For
After
hours.
A while, they'd come along and go, right, charge £1 for loitering, and like, everyone used to have to just pay £1.
They didn't do that.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
I wonder if that still happens in places.
I don't think there is such a tax. They use different ways to try drivers out. They'd play classical music and things like that.
Yeah.
Is that like, where your love of musicals come from? Because you learnt them all in the McDonald's?
All it was. They used to do it outside newsagents and at train stations and things like that to stop people my age going because they thought young people... Actually, I developed quite a love for classical music because of it.
Because of that.
So then we just hung out there more. They still do it. It doesn't work. East Coast Station, they play classical music all the time. I love going there. What is that?
It hasn't worked.
I ordered my standard quarter pounder with cheese and a side of 6 nuggets, the same as I always have. And as I made my way to my hard plastic chair, I nearly slipped on a small pamphlet. It did, however, catch my attention and I picked it up. It said BBC on the front. And as I flicked through it, it listed a number of different schemes and opportunities it was offering under the title of BBC Talent.
In McDonald's?
In on the floor of Mackie D's.
Yeah. I'm trying to think out who else works here or in the BBC. Like, do you think Brucey was recruited from a leaflet in McDonald's?
This pamphlet says BBC. Am I to apply?
Is that where you came
where
from?
You
Which one did you come from?
I did not.
You chicken. Must have been a chicken one.
It was a chicken cottage.
Or one of those spudgy likes.
No, I was FKC.
Spudgy like.
I'm imagine you like just living off baked potatoes.
It was mainly all for adults, apart from one section which was aimed at young people, a scheme called DIY TV. This looked quality. They were searching for 12 young people that would live together in a house, be followed by cameras for a month and create a TV show, all as part of a series on CBBC. This was right up my street, so as soon as I got home, I filled out the application form and sent it off.
So is this like a kind of early Big Brother?
Or was
Big Brother on then as well?
Big Brother, they'd done one series. Mm. And the other programme was Pop Stars, like the old school X Factor.
Yeah.
They'd done like a series of that. So I think what they were trying to do was copy that format.
But for younger people.
For a CBBC show.
Mm.
I didn't expect to hear back, but 2 weeks later, I got a call from someone saying that they were interested in my application and I'd made it through to the next round.
This would be on the home phone then, would it?
It would have been on the home phone,
mobile.
Did you not have a pager?
I didn't. Do you know what? I really wanted a pager.
Didn't
the time
we all?
Before I had a mobile.
I had a pager.
I know, I can imagine.
I was so urban.
I think we've talked about this before. With your pager, didn't you... Because you tried to explain to me what a pager was. I still don't understand.
It was just me and Beyonce that had them.
Yes.
And so let's say I was going out with you. You'd
ring a number. Presumptuous. But you'd ring a number.
And then you'd tell them.
And then you'd leave a message.
Yeah.
It's normally an actual person. So you'd have to like go via... Scott's working in the call centre. He'd be like, hello, pager centre. And you'd be like...
Hello, can I tell...
Send a naughty message.
I love Becky very much.
Do you have to say the message, or do you say, can you just say something a bit edgy?
No, you have to say. No, they don't make it up for you. You have to tell them exactly what you want to say. That was the idea.
But there was perhaps a business opportunity in that then. That, like, on a lazy day, I could just. So let's say you're in the call centre, I ring you and I say,
hello.
Hiya, can you just send a message through to Becky's pager? Make it a good one. And then she'd call you.
No, I'd get it on my little pager and it would scroll across like a text. You'd have gone off me by the time I replied to you. Not that I would have.
I'd made it through to the final 120 and was invited to attend an audition in London. There were three auditions happening, 40 people in London, 40 people in Manchester and 40 people in Scotland. I turned up at the London one with my mum. It was quite an intimidating experience. There were TV cameras all over the room and everyone else auditioning was very loud. They all looked like they belonged to stage school. Pop Stars had just finished being on the TV and looking back, I think this show was copying the format a little bit. There was a panel of judges that I had to audition in front of. No singing involved, I just had to answer questions and bring in something interesting to show the panel. The panel consisted of a TV producer, a psychologist from Big Brother and TV presenter Josie Darby. For my something interesting, I brought in my guitar. I think because I'd seen Pop Stars, I thought that was like a winning...
Channeling Darius?
A little bit, maybe. And when my time came, I performed the chords to Wonderwall. It didn't feel like the most impressive audition, and thinking about it, I'm not sure why I thought playing Wonderwall would work. I thought my chances were really blown when after my audition I headed to the toilet and accidentally got locked in one of the cubicles. It wasn't my fault, it was a dodgy handle. And I stayed in there for around half an hour until I was eventually discovered by a member of the judging panel who heard my cries for help.
Well, Josie Darby helps you out of the loo?
No, it wasn't Josie Darby, it was the male TV producer.
Were you like, help?
I was just like, hello, can you let me out?
Were you still strumming your guitar?
No, but why would I take my guitar to the toilet? I thought this would be a certain way to rule myself out of the competition, but the judge found it funny. He asked me what my name was and I went back to my waiting mum, who strangely hadn't even noticed that I'd been missing for so long. It was a fun day though. I even met a girl who I will for this episode call Mavis. I've got to keep her identity safe.
Okay.
She was really nice, but I was not confident enough to speak to her properly.
Was she one of the auditionees?
Yeah. Yes, she was, yeah. I was amazed when later that week I got the call telling me I'd made it through to the final round of auditions. I was down to the final 24 people, from which 12 kids would be chosen for the final show. I couldn't believe I had made it through by playing Wonderwall and getting trapped in a toilet, but it seemed to have worked.
You know, like on X Factor, they have the sympathy backstory. Was that yours? Like, did you come on and they're playing, like, Snow Patrol and you're like, I've been locked in the toilet for half an hour?
No, I didn't.
Was that your sob story, no?
I think they just found it endearing, maybe.
I thought this might be funny. He's just going to spend the whole of this TV show locked in the loo.
The next audition was in a place called Evesham and involved a stay overnight in a nearby hotel. This was the moment my parents bought me my first ever phone. I managed to persuade them it was a good idea for safety reasons that I had a mobile phone, so I was given a classic Nokia 3210 with 3 free texts a day. This was huge. It was a strange weekend. Most of the people were quite loud and annoying, but me and Mavis really got on. We'd eat together when everyone was eating. I think I should reword that.
I think you should.
Yeah. But me and Mavis really got on. We'd have dinner together when everyone else was eating, and she made me laugh. She had brought a portable CD player with her and was constantly listening to a Robbie Williams CD. The song She's the One reminds me of her. You can have a little blast of it if you want.
Oh, do we press play on
it's
the...
It's there,
the...
yeah.
Beautiful song.
It's a really nice song, and now whenever I hear it, it just reminds me of her. It was all a strange experience, but it was nice having someone else there that I could get on with.
I was her, she was me.
After the weekend, the time came to find out if I'd made the final 12 people that would be in the CBBC show. I remember they kept us in a room for what felt like a couple of hours. Then Josie Darby came in and gave 12 names of people that would be moved to another room. So one room would get through and one room would not.
If there's somebody.
As they read Mavis's name, I really wanted them to read my name. I was really keen that we both got through. I was willing Josie to say my name. And then she did. And I made my way with Mavis and 10 others to another room. It was all really tense. I couldn't work out if I was in the room that was going to make it or not. But then the Big Brother psychologist came in. I think she was called, for some reason, I've just remembered the name, Linda Papadopoulos.
Yes!
Yes!
She's hot.
I know her.
Yeah. And then she told us that we weren't going to make it.
Oh, no.
Everyone was really upset. After coming so far and being so close, it was a massive disappointment. It was my first experience of what felt like proper rejection.
Was everyone crying in that?
It was emotional. I couldn't even say I had more exciting projects in the pipeline. I didn't have anything.
This isn't the last you've heard of me.
No.
Well, it kind of is.
I did have one good result, though. I swapped numbers with Mavis.
What about now?
And I used my 3 free texts on her every day for quite a long time. We fell out of touch after a while, though. There's only so much you can do with 3 free texts a day. But I would later see her again. She would later feature in the Christmas edition of Tap End when I danced with her to Baby Cakes and S Club 7 at the under 18 club night.
Oh, is that her?
That's her.
Oh, Mavis from before?
Yeah, the one that I recognised and changes had happened between 15
and
17.
It all fits together now.
And that was Mavis, yeah. These kinds of shows are on all the time now. My advice to any contestants from my experience would be, have a laugh. Don't get upset if you don't win, and if you get locked in the toilet, it's no bad thing. And try and get a mobile phone package with more than 3 texts.
I've bossed banter in Prague, I've dressed up as a Smurf, I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France, I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam, I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh, I did.
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
I want to move on, and I want to also get your reaction, Becky, from yesterday's new track by Sir Dossa.
I've been waiting for his new material for so long now, and I'm hoping it's good.
Well, I mean, you remember Bish Bash Bosh, don't you?
Have been a year ago.
It would have been.
Now, Bish Bash Bosh is one of my personal favourites, and obviously, if I was stuck on a desert island, that would be one I would take with me. But the follow-up just didn't, like...
It was too left field.
Yeah.
He needed to go more mainstream.
Yeah, and also I think he'd moved away from what we loved about his original piece.
Fish, bash, bosh, having a laugh in Prague. Washing some banter, with your beer, not Fanta. Fish, bash, bosh, having a laugh in Prague.
So this is the one we loved from before, from Chris's mates, the Dosser. But he called up Chris the other day and he's like, mate, I've got a new track for you. I want you to play it to Scott. And we played it yesterday. It's called Hanging in the Morning. Now, it's kind of a cautionary tale.
Becky already looks disgusted.
It may make you never want to drink ever again.
Right.
It's a cautionary tale of drinking and what it can do to you. And a lot of people aren't drinking this month, so it can be your kind of anthem, really.
So do you think this might be picked up in like one of those NHS adverts?
It should be.
Yeah. Perfect.
Because bad things happen, you know, because he's been drinking. So can I play the first bit?
Mm-hmm.
There is rap and there is a killer chorus.
So what? It's Thursday night. Can't wait for the weekend. Let's get on it tonight. Hopefully the night will end up in the fight. I'm very sick in the morning. I think I just might. Because we drink beer, not Sprite.
Oh. He has had a change of direction.
He drinks beer, not Sprite.
Yeah, but before he was drinking beer, not Fanta.
Mm. Yeah. So he's changed it up a bit.
Yeah, I like it.
Continue.
In the beginning, it started out as a quick drink. 10 points later, I can barely think. Last night, turned a little bit Die Like Danny. Beating up the dance floor with skills like Danny.
Die Like Danny.
Die Like Danny.
I like it. And good nanny football reference there.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. What was that?
Did you think nanny. He meant like nanny as in someone who looks after small children?
I did, but thank you for correcting me. And more.
And it all seems fine, days at the time. Knocking back beers and drinking on wine. Banging out beats and spitting out rhymes. And if you do the crime, you gotta do the time. I'll be hanging in the morning. We'll be hanging in the morning.
Chorus. There's Fergie.
Oh my god, he does have a cameo from Fergie in
Fergie it. Off Black Eyed Peas, get you drunk.
How did he get her to agree to do that?
We're not sure.
Do we know?
No.
Is it
legal?
What
do you mean? I hope he's got good lawyers.
So do I. That's what I said yesterday. And more. This is a good bit.
Waking up, still I've cut on the sofa. What happened last night? I need some closure. Got a load of texts saying, oh, you're a joker. When will this end? When will I be sober?
Do you like it? What do you think?
What's your view so far?
I do like it. I really like it. He's got a really good rhymes.
Hmm.
Bosh to the bathroom, oh, what an odour. Need to take stock of things like a stockbroker.
I just clocked that line. From Bosch to the bathroom, oh, what an odour.
Didn't you not hear that yesterday?
No.
You're hearing something different every time you hear it.
Did he say got to take stock?
Like a stockbroker.
Right.
That's right.
Bosch to the bathroom, oh, what an odour. Need to take stock of things like a stockbroker.
It gets better with every listen.
Can you imagine if One Direction sang this? Bosch to the bathroom, oh, what an odour.
They get away with it, though. It's One Direction. They can sing anything. And check out this kind of bridge.
Last night, went over the top. I had a little bit too much to drink and blew the lot. Bacon, sarnie and the bottle of pop. Fish, bash, bosh, but I still feel slosh.
Sticking true to his roots.
Yeah.
What do we do with a drunken dosser? What do we do with a drunken dosser? What do we do with a drunken dosser? Hanging in the morning.
There it is. Come on, it's good.
Do you know what? I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I think he's got something there.
Yep. Now, I was saying this to somebody earlier, right? I want to get your reaction. There isn't much difference between Sir Dosser and Will I Am.
I completely agree.
They don't sound that different. Obviously, one's got a better microphone and better clothes and probably a bit more money. But apart from that, I think same.
Well, like
much.
What? What, they've both got Fergie on their record?
No, but yes, but similar styles.
Yeah, and that sort of dancey, the new Will I Am one is quite dancey. They're not completely different.
They're not.
But I mean, personally, you've got to decide, I guess, who you'd prefer to hear more of in 2013, Will I Am or Sir Dosser.
Well, let's put it out there. What do you think, listeners? Facebook, Radio 1, at R1, Twitter, 8999. Who would you like to hear more from in the new year, Dosser or Will I Am? I can see a time where he replaces Danny from The Script on The Voice.
Oh, imagine.
Imagine him on one of those chairs. So you've got Jesse J, Tom Jones, Will I Am. No, he could bin him. So you've got Jesse J, Tom Jones, Danny from The Script, he stays, bin off Will I Am, Dosser, swivelling round on those massive chairs.
He'd just be sat there texting all the time.
Yeah.
Bosh.
Yeah.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, so my flatmate has just come back from India, right? And he went to visit a friend who lives there. Have I told you this story?
I don't think so.
He had a really good time anyway, loved it. He's about to get back on the plane in Mumbai, back to the UK, and he is boarding the plane. So, you know, you're waiting in line, they take your boarding pass, and they tell you, they kind of direct you to where your seat is. Have a nice flight, sir. But in typical me, because I lose everything, and him style, because he's the same as me, he loses the boarding pass. Now, it is quite easy to lose that. It's only like a tiny little slip of paper.
Yeah, once they've ripped the other bit off and they've taken your bag, so you've only got a tiny little...
Yeah. So he's like looking in all his pockets. Oh, I can't find it. Not anywhere. Like, looks in his bag. He's got his whole bag out with all his stuff flying everywhere. Cannot find the boarding pass. So he's then marched out of the airport. The plane has to wait because he can't find this little slip of paper, right?
Surely they know that he's the one, like, haven't they got a computer system where they can look up with his passport?
I don't know. He had his passport, didn't have his little slip of boarding pass.
I didn't realise that was that important.
It's important. It's important. Anyway, so he gets marched out of the whole terminal, not even in the airport still, by an airport official to... the airport official's office, which is quite far away from the terminal. He was getting quite annoyed by now. And the airport official says, right, I want you to sit in this seat here. Here's a piece of paper. And I want you to write to me how sorry you are about losing your boarding pass.
Oh, my God.
Right. So he only told me about this the other day. I was laughing. He was really annoyed at the time. So he had to, with the guy looking over him, go... Dear sir, I am really, really sorry that I lost my boarding pass. Thank you. Passes it to the man who is looking right over him while he's writing it. The man goes, looks at it, reads it and goes, nah, not good enough.
Oh my God!
Write me another one.
So what's he want, a song?
You're not... sorry
like
enough.
That bit of the Simpsons titles where Bart's writing, I'm really, 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 really sorry.
He screws it up in front of him. It's like, nah, chucks it over there. Now write me another one. Dear airport official, it's the Simpsons. I am really, 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 really incredibly sorry that I have lost my boarding pass. He hands it to him and goes, is that all right? He goes, yeah, that'll do. Takes him back into the terminal, and eventually the plane leaves. The whole plane is waiting for him. Like 300 people on this plane, because he has to write the letter.
Do you think this is a policy, or do you think that's just one guy who's like,
I don't know.
Let's make him sweat.
Feel the power. The Scott Mills Daily. Okay, real or no real, just to confuse you, has moved till after 3 o'clock, but only on a Wednesday, because it's the official chart update from 3:30 on a Wednesday now with me. Jamila's going to play, but doesn't know what the hell's going on.
I have no idea. I feel like Carl Pilkington right now. I just feel lost in life.
Oh, I don't know what's going on here. Oh, what's this?
A game.
I don't like it.
A game.
So it is Chris, Jamila and Becky on Real or No Real. What happens is some facts will be read out by the voice of the news, Chris Smith.
Sure.
Some of them are real. Some of them are not real.
Okay.
You've got to say real or no real and give your reasoning, if you please.
Right.
Behind your decision.
I dressed as a polar bear for work today, so I mean, no, but I generally don't have much of a grasp of reality as it stands.
Okay,
but let's
cool.
go for it.
All right, let's go. First one then, on real or no real, is this real or not?
Rich people in China hire body doubles to serve their prison sentences. This practice is called ding zhui.
No way.
So imagine you've been sentenced to go to prison. Let's get someone else to do it.
This is what you would do if,
yes,
you,
it is.
If you could, isn't it?
Like, absolutely would. Why not? If you can.
Who would you make serve your sentence?
My flatmate.
Buble or Ellen?
My flatmate. Do you think I look like Ellen DeGeneres?
No, you don't look like Ellen DeGeneres. Although for me, it'd be really easy because a lot of, not that she would necessarily agree to do it, but for the first 3 years of my career, people mostly just shout across the road at me, Connie, as in Connie Huck. So, I mean,
so
she could do it for me.
So
just
get,
generally. Yeah.
So you'd send Connie Huck to prison
of
yourself?
I would send Connie. No, she's a mother. I can't.
She's a mother now.
There's some bird off EastEnders as well. Maybe her.
Send her.
Yeah, Priya.
Any thoughts on this?
Well, I'm saying.
Who would you send?
You'd have to send Hugh Grant.
I would have to send Hugh Grant.
Don't look
Although,
like Hugh Grant.
There is an Ellen resemblance.
Oh, stop it!
I've just been shown a picture of Ellen. My word, don't give me that look.
Same.
The sooner you admit it.
It is, it's the crazy eyes.
You're making this better. I like yeah. it.
Okay, good. Another person thinks a lot like Alan, so everyone's happy.
I'm going to say real with this one. I can just imagine it.
No real.
That one is real.
Oh, Priya's going to jail.
That is unbelievable.
So is Ellen DeGeneres.
Priya. How did they get away with that?
I don't know.
How does no one realise?
Don't know, but it's common practice. See, that's a good fact to tell your friends.
Yes.
Who said real there? Sorry. Did you say real?
No. You were no. the only person that I got did. It right. Brilliant.
Okay, good.
So 12 to you yes. and none to us.
And your next real or no real fact or not?
Plan B's real name is Plantation Beetroot the Seventh. He comes from a long line of beetroots.
As much as I would love that to be true, I feel like it might not be. I say no real.
I think he is secretly posh.
But how many posh people do you know called Beetroot? There's no beetroots in Downton Abbey.
No, not posh. I'm hearing not posh from the one that doesn't speak. I reckon he is.
Beetroots are posh.
Yes,
they?
But yeah. they're not. There aren't any in those sort of TV drama. So
if it's not in Downton, it's not in life.
Yeah, yeah. It's not
That's
a common surname.
I hear you.
Yeah. So I'm saying no real.
I'm going to say no real.
No real.
I went straight in with no real.
Oh, yeah, you did.
That one is no real.
Oh, I think it's Ben Drew. It's on every pub quiz ever, isn't it? What is Plan B's real name? Every pub quiz you do, that's the one. Okay, and next one, please.
The phrase square peg in a round hole is soon to be reworded for younger audiences as an HDMI in a USB.
If our generation has become that sad, then we are lost.
It could happen.
I'm going to say real. Some idiot somewhere has probably thought that.
It's not quite as catchy. Doesn't quite roll off the tongue as much.
What was it again?
An HDMI into a USB. That is annoying when you try and do that, though.
It is.
Yeah.
Nothing worse.
What would you replace that with instead? That would be more culturally acceptable.
Well, you've already got square peg round hole, haven't you?
Yeah, I guess that still works.
Yeah, I think so. I don't need to change it.
No need to modernise that. I'm saying no real.
I say no real.
When have you ever tried to put a square peg into a round hole?
Don't
do that. Why are you pulling that face at me? It's rather odd.
Because it feels innuendous.
Who? Innuendous?
Yeah, that's my new word.
I like
I made
that.
It up.
Innuendous.
You can have innuendous bingo.
Can I just check who's saying real or no real?
No real.
Real.
No real.
That one is no real. Hmm.
Boom.
And here's your next one. Is this real or not?
Scientifically speaking, women stay angry longer than men do after an argument.
Real.
Exactly.
They do like to drag it out, don't they?
This is why I only live with men. I live with three boys.
Is that why?
It's so much easier. Yeah, because women just bring
misery.
Anger, rage.
Misery.
Yeah, tampons.
All that.
Oh, I completely agree with them. Real.
Yeah.
He's scared
he
right
is,
now.
Scared
and if he angers us,
I wouldn't argue.
No, I wouldn't. It's two against one.
Real.
That one is real.
Well, I think we all agreed on that then. And it's true. And here's your last one.
All shop mannequins are Dutch.
Real. This is real. I heard this somewhere before.
My mate at uni, I used to live right next to a wedding dress shop. And he used to really fancy one of the mannequins.
That's weird.
Really weird, isn't it?
What, like properly fancy?
He'd walk past.
Well, have you seen her today?
She's quite fit.
Wasn't there a film about that? Not about your mate.
It was called Mannequin. Yeah. It was titled.
Yeah.
But then
it sort of came to life.
The mannequin came to life.
Yeah. Maybe that's what he was hoping would happen.
Did your one come to life?
I don't think so.
Did he often come in like of an evening and go, "Have you seen her today?"
Changed her hair.
Yeah, she changed her hair.
Well, they did. They changed her up a little bit every now and then.
Did they? And he liked that.
I can't wait to hear that at tap end.
I'm saying real.
Yeah, it's definitely real.
Okay, so I hear you all saying real, but why would they be all Dutch?
Well, I think
have you ever spoken to one?
No, but have you?
Oh, yes, a lot.
Well, are they Sean Connery?
Yeah. Smoking a pancake.
When I was a boy, first came to the shield, she was about to become my shitty.
That's right. So... we're all saying
it's
no real.
I'm changing to no real. To win
that
the
one
quiz.
Is no real.
Yeah.
Ah. There we are.
You said you read it somewhere. That's the only reason I went with you. I didn't have a clue. I thought it was ridiculous.
And at the end of that round of real or no real, he's done the maths. Because remember, it's 12 points. 12 points now, not your average 10 like 2012. Chris has got
48.
Jamila has got
36.
Becky has got
48.
Oh, it's a tie between Chris
and Becky. Do you know what,
actually?
No, I've got to be honest. I've got to be honest here. Chris wrote down... I got one wrong and he still wrote down 12 points for me, so actually you win.
Oh, you're a rubbish scorekeeper.
I win, though.
Yeah.
But you win. Well done. So we're back on live tomorrow between 1 and 4 on BBC Radio 1, including Water Ahoy at 1:45. It's Innuendo Bingo, Phil Taggart and Alice Levine versus Chris. It's going to be a mess. Scott Mills,
BBC Radio 1. BBC
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1.